Alright, as we come to Psalm 51:14, once again, David is praying, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. And what David is praying here is that God would deliver him, or rescue him, save him, snatch him from danger. And the thing he needs deliverance from is his sin, specifically the sin of blood guiltiness. And we saw that blood guiltiness refers to the sin of murder, that David was guilty of shedding innocent blood and having Uriah killed in battle along with some others of his soldiers. Now this is a very serious and heinous offense in God's eyes. And it was deserving of very great and severe punishment. And David is praying that he will be forgiven this sin and would not have to suffer the punishment that it deserves. And so he calls himself a man of blood as he confesses his great sin to God. Now the question I want to ask today is, how can this apply to us? Can we pray this prayer? Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. Now the first thing I want to notice is that all men are born in blood. To say we are a man of blood can refer to the fact that we have been born into a state of sin and depravity. We can see that in Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Verses 4 to 6 and verse 9. God says, and as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And verse 9, then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. And so men are born in blood. We are men of blood by birth. We are born with original sin inherited from Adam. And that's why no one can be saved by their physical birth. The Bible says we have to receive Christ by faith and be born not of blood, but of God. Now, being we have sinful natures, all men are violent and hurtful and bloody by nature because of sin. Notice Micah chapter 7. In verse 2, Micah 7, in verse 2, God says this, the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. In other words, we are bloodied by nature. Violent, sinful, hurtful, injurious. Romans 3 gives us a description from God of all men by nature in sin. And what's he say about all men? Romans 3, verses 15 through 17. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. Why is there so much violence in the earth, even as in the days of Noah? Why so much assault? Why so much murder? Why so much bloodshed? Because men are bloody by nature. And as long as we continue in our blood or in our sins, God will not hear our prayers. Isaiah chapter 1. As long as we continue in a state of nature, unregenerate, unrenewed, uncleansed, God cannot hear us. Isaiah 1, verse 15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Why? Your hands are full of blood. If we continue impenitent or unrepentant for our bloodiness, we will not be heard. We must repent of our sins, confess them to God, and ask Him for forgiveness through Christ and His sacrifice. Isaiah 1:16 goes on, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Scarlet and crimson are the color of blood and are deep dyed stains and need to be washed out from our hearts and hands by the blood of Jesus. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God delivers us from sin, from death, and from hell by the work of Christ in our behalf, by His sacrifice on the cross, by the blood He shed for our sins. Galatians 1, verse 4. Deliver me. How does God do it? Through Christ and His work. Galatians 1, 4. It says, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He delivered us from sin and death. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 10. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. He delivers us even from eternal damnation or eternal suffering in the flames of hell. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. It says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. O God, deliver me from blood guiltiness, or from blood. But am I guilty of blood? Am I a murderer in God's eyes? Do I have to pray this prayer? Well, we may not think so, but we need to look a little more closely at this. There are a number of ways in which men can be guilty of blood, as David was. And the first one is by sinning in any way whatsoever. Because sinning is a form of suicide. It's murdering our own soul. If we sin in any way, we are guilty of blood, the blood of our own soul. Ezekiel 18 and verse 4. What does God say there? Behold, all souls are mine, including our own soul. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, God says. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. so if we sin, we murder our own soul. We're guilty of soul murder, suicide, guilty of blood. Hosea chapter 13 tells us how this is so. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. How did they destroy themselves? How did they murder themselves? Verse 1 of chapter 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. You have slain yourself. Put yourself in a state of death. Brought yourself down by your own iniquity. And so, we're guilty of blood by sinning. There's another way that there are those who have been guilty of blood. The Jews of Christ's day who murdered their Messiah were guilty of blood. Acts chapter 2. What did Peter charge the Jews with? There's a lot of controversy. Did the Jews kill Christ? Are they guilty of his blood? Yes, they are. Peter says so. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and 23, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You took Christ and slew him by means of the Romans. And the Jews themselves acknowledge this. Matthew 27, verses 23 and through 25. Jesus had been arrested and brought before Pilate, the Roman governor. And the Jews cried out for his death. And Pilate said, well, I am to release one prisoner at this feast each year. Shall I release to you Jesus? No, they said, give us Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. The governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Of course, that was a vain act. Pilate was guilty of turning over an innocent man to be put to death. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And so the Jews were guilty of the blood of Jesus by having him crucified, though he was innocent and had done no wrong. Another way that men can be guilty of blood is by persecuting the saints of God unto death. Acts 22. They think it's nothing to persecute believers in Christ, but God says by doing this you are guilty of blood. Acts 22. Paul says he was guilty in this way when he cried out for Stephen's death and was a witness of that death. Acts 22:19, and I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him, as I was guilty by complicity in the murder of Stephen, guilty of blood. Revelation 6, we find that the saints that were killed for their faith, their blood cries out for vengeance. And those who killed them, if they do not repent. Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So they were guilty of blood by persecuting the saints unto death. Another way that we can be guilty of blood is by hating our brother. 1 John chapter 3. Hatred in God's eyes is as murder. Jesus said, He that hates his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. 1 John 3:12. We're to not be as Cain, who was of that wicked one, of the devil, and slew his brother, killed Abel, murdered him in cold blood. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. If we do not love our brother, we are in a state of death. If we hate our brother, we are guilty of murder. We are men of blood. Of course, the most common understanding of blood guiltiness is by unjustly taking away the life of another. Luke 23 describes Barabbas in this way. Luke 23, verses 18 and 19. When Pilate offered the Jews to free a prisoner at the feast, and said, Shall I deliver Jesus? Verse 18, they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. All right, he was a rebel, and a murderer, and a thief, and had been sentenced to die for his crimes, but he was released and Jesus was crucified in his place. Acts chapter 3, verse 14, Peter tells us what transpired here. Acts chapter 3, verse 14. I'll read 13 and 14. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Barabbas was a murderer. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And so Barabbas, who had killed in an insurrection, a rebellion against the government, a murderer, had unjustly taken away the life of another. There's another way we can be guilty of blood, by apostasy, or by leaving our profession of Christ, to have one, at one time confessed faith in Christ, and then to have turned our back in Him and abandoned Him. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 4 to 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. They're guilty of the blood of Jesus. They crucify him afresh and put him to an open shame by renouncing their profession of him and turning traitor against him and denying him, turning away from him and leaving their profession of faith. Chapter 10 says it's blood guiltiness also. Chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. A murderer was to be stoned. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So in other words, apostasy is a trampling upon the Lord Jesus, counting his blood an unholy thing, to be guilty of his blood. Another way we are guilty of blood is by failing to witness to lost sinners, those who have no burden for lost souls and do nothing to win them to Christ and see them saved, are blood guilty, murderers of souls. Ezekiel chapter 3. It's a very serious thing not to witness for Christ. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. It came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. You're a watchman. I've given you my word, the gospel of salvation. Warn lost sinners of their danger of dying without Christ in their sins and perishing eternally. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. You'll be guilty of his perishing. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. A man that you warn that he needs to turn from his sins to be saved and come to Christ, if he goes on in his sins and perishes, you're not guilty of his blood. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Just because someone's religious or lives a good moral life doesn't mean they're saved. Warn them, or you'll be guilty of their blood. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. So if you want to be delivered from blood guiltiness, be faithful in witnessing for Christ and bringing the gospel to lost sinners. There's one more way we can be guilty of blood. It's by receiving the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. We need to be very careful that we treat the elements of the Lord's Supper with great respect and come before the Lord in a proper heart condition before we take communion. Because if we don't, that bread and that fruit of the vine represent the body and blood of Christ. And if we treat them in an unworthy manner, that's looked upon by God as treating the blood of Jesus in that way. 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. What greater blood guiltiness than to be guilty of the blood of Jesus? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So, if I was to ask the question, am I guilty of blood? Do I need to pray David's prayer of Psalm 51:14? Deliver me from blood, O God, thou God of my salvation. I have to ask, am I a sinner? Have I, in a sense, agreed to the act of the Jews in murdering their Messiah by continuing in unbelief? Do I hate God's people and persecute them? Have I ever actually physically taken away the life of another man unjustly? Have I once believed in Christ and then left my profession of Him and went back to the world and to sin? Do I fail to witness to lost sinners? Do I come before the Lord and receive His supper in an unworthy manner? I think we can say without fail that all men in one or more of these ways are guilty of blood and need deliverance through salvation by Christ. For sinners to be delivered from their blood guiltiness, there must be innocent blood shed for them in sacrifice. There's no other way to have blood guiltiness cleansed than by the shedding of an innocent sacrifice, the blood of a sacrifice in our behalf. And the only innocent blood that can atone for sins is the blood of the Lord Jesus. Even Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord, acknowledged the fact that his blood was innocent blood. Matthew 27, verse 3. They came and took Jesus. They determined that he should be put to death. They bound him, they led him away to Pilate, the governor. Verse 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he went out and he hung himself in suicide. But that could not atone for his sin. He should have not repented himself. He should have repented toward God and come and put his faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. And he would have been forgiven had he done that. But he was not one of God's elect. Jesus did not pay for the sin of his betrayal. And so he was a desperate man, a man who was in a state of unrepented sin, unforgiven sin, and he went out and hung himself in his despair, and he was not forgiven. But yet, if we will come to Christ and confess our blood guiltiness, we will have forgiveness, because the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. 1 Peter 1 verse 18 and 19 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Lord Jesus was totally sinless. He had no sin. He did no sin. His blood was unique. It was incorruptible. It was undefiled. It was pure and perfect blood. He was a lamb, the Lamb of God, without blemish and without spot, that takes away the sin of the world. His blood was precious blood of infinite worth, able to cleanse even guilty sinners and take away even such great sin as blood guiltiness for those who come to him turn from their sins and put their trust in Him for pardon and salvation. That is how we can have our blood guiltiness removed. We can be delivered from the guilt of blood by the shed blood of Jesus. Yes, we're guilty of His blood because it was shed for our sins. But when we come to Him in repentance and put our trust in Him, that guiltiness is taken away by God, and we are forgiven and cleansed, and our guilt is removed, and that sin will never rise up to damn and destroy us in the judgment, because the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So praise God for that blood that takes away our guiltiness when we put our faith in it. Let's close in prayer.